Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. We will have blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail, and this evening at 6 p.m. we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Today is also the feast of St. Edward the King and Confessor of England. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Callistus, Pope and Martyr. Tuesday, the feast of St. Teresa of Avila. Wednesday, the feasts of St. Hedwig and St. Gerard Majella, who's not on the universal calendar, but a great saint. Thursday is the feast of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Friday is the feast of St. Luke. And Saturday is the feast of St. Peter of Alcantara. I'm just hesitating because I can't talk about the saints, even though these are great saints and of great historical significance. But I'll just say that St. Luke, of course, is one of the evangelists and a dear one of them because of his particular emphasis on the meekness of our Lord and his condescending mercy towards everyone. So St. Luke, who is a physician, is very much aware of the sorrows and pains and sufferings of each person in life. And St. Luke is very much aware of those. He's sensitive to all those things. We talk about St. Matthew, who is the accountant. So he's very conscious of the money, and that's what comes out. But St. Luke, he's very much aware of the pains and sufferings of people, and of course, of our Lord. So when he describes the agony in the garden, he describes it in great medical detail. He's the one that tells us that the extreme weight of our sins, just the thought of it and what was ahead for him in a few hours, that strain on our Lord's human nervous system was such that the capillaries that were near the surface of his skin broke under that pressure, and the blood went into the pores of his skin and came out as drops of blood. And he says, so he had his agony in the garden, this sweat of blood. All medical terminology, you can read about it in the Doctor at Calvary book. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, because in everything you have been enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness to the Christ has been made so firm in you that you lack no grace, while awaiting the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also keep you secure unto the end, unimpeachable in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. At that time, Jesus, getting into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a pallet. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house." And he arose and went away to his house. But when the crowd saw it, they were struck with fear and glorified God who had given such power to men. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This Mass, which we will not be speaking about just except to mention this is a dedication Mass, and it was so parts of this Mass are taken from the thought for Holy Mother of the Church of what a church is and what it should give to us, and see if these are the things, the two things I'll mention. See if these are the things that you experience when you come to Mass. And it's right at the beginning, the introit. Da pacem, give peace. Do you experience that? Yes, it is true that all of our burdens and all of our sorrows oppress us all the time. St. Francis de Sales, the last thing he prayed before he would come into the chapel or into the church to say Mass, as he took the holy water, last thing he would pray was, all of my concern, he was a bishop, everything I have to worry about, you can wait here at the door. You can wait here for me. I have to pray. So this might be something you can think of. You have so many things to worry about. And when you come in here, say, I can't escape them. My cross is always with me. But wait for me here. I have to pray. I have to be given peace by my God and Savior. And he will. This is his house. And here you are revitalized. Here he tells you, yes, you have to carry your cross again when you go out, but I will help you carry it. This is where he's teaching us. So we should experience this peace when we're here. And then, of course, the devil is constantly trying to distract us and remind us of all those things out there. But you fight them off. Your guardian angel will help you to get that peace. And we can't go in. We could, but we're not. But this thought is ever present at the Mass, and it is so present. It's virtually the last thing that the church prays for when we receive God in communion. Janus Dei, grant, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. And then the priest silently goes into that. He, in a way, goes off in a moment of ecstasy, if we want. That's what might happen for a priest. But the prayer is saying that because that's the last thing we hear. And the priest starts saying, O Lord Jesus Christ, as you said to your apostles, my peace I give to you. You can read the words. So, okay. The other thing, of course, coming with that is the other part of that introit, which is repeated in the gradual. We are going up to Jerusalem where we will worship God with great joy. So that's what you can see is flowing from that. We have many sorrows, but here we're supposed to be picking up the joy of our Lord in picking up his cross. Okay. And that's, you can see we could go on that theme, but we can't, because we have to talk about the epistle and gospel, which are, well, aren't they all, but these ones are speaking to us about God's mercy, love, and forgiveness, because we all need that. And so in the gospel, which, of course, three of the evangelists talk about this, the synoptics, so we get more information from the others. This is the account according to St. Matthew. Again, talking about St. Luke. The words that, before he gives this account, the words that he says are, so this is a separate part of his gospel, but it's a part just before he gives this account. He describes how, I mean, to see a miracle of someone being healed is would be tremendous. Do you know, of course, in our Lord's day, it says everyone who touched him was healed. So if you're hearing this type of, you're hearing about this prophet who we know is the Son of God, but you're hearing all these things, you can imagine why people were rushing to be around him. And they were laying out their sick people in front. And so St. Luke is telling how all these, our Lord was speaking, and all these people had come to him because they were being healed. All were being healed. And then he says, ending that section, he says, and the Pharisees and the scribes were also there. And there was power to heal them too. Then he begins this account. So you see, St. Luke, he's saying that the power is there to heal all, but not all were healed. All were healed that came to be touched, but not those who were there with bad intentions. St. Luke says, and power was there to heal them. And we see it now in this account, because what happens? Okay, so our Lord gets into the boat, St. Peter's, and he travels over to his town, Capernaum, which is where St. Peter lived. And it says he goes into his own house. This is St. Matthew's description. The others tell us what's going on here, particularly St. Mark, who is the disciple of St. Peter. He's telling us all these things. He goes into his house. What house is our Lord? I thought our Lord was from Nazareth. Well, the house was St. Peter's. St. Peter let him use the house. So we think of, as we know the story, oh, this account doesn't tell us again, but in the other account, it was so packed because everyone wanted to be near our Lord. It was so packed that these people who came with their friend, who was paralyzed, he could not walk himself. They were carrying him. You can imagine four people each having a corner of a little cot carrying him. And they come up in this scene and they can't get in. So you remember what they did. They went on the roof and they took off the tiles of the roof and they lowered this man down. So imagine this. They're lowering him down right in front of our Lord. Like, you have to do something. You see what they're doing. But I'm smiling because I'm thinking to myself, now also imagine you're St. Peter and you're sitting there and you see what they're doing to your house. I mean, that's what's happening. And we know what happens. So they lower him down, interrupting everything. And then our Lord, it says, St. Matthew says, seeing their faith. So the faith of these friends of this man. It says, seeing their faith, he says to the man, they want the cure. And you see how our Lord, counterintuitive as we talk about it, he doesn't cure the man. He says, your sins are forgiven. Have confidence. So the man was not confident. It was the faith of his friends. He probably had been discouraging them. No, don't bother. That's not part of the gospel story. But why does our Lord first say to him, have confidence? Well, it must be because our Lord knew he didn't have confidence. So have confidence. And what was bothering him? He had something on his conscience. And so our Lord said, your sins are forgiven. Now, here we go. We see the scribes right away. They start, grumbling and murmuring. What is he talking about? Sin is an offense against God. Only God can forgive somebody an offense. So he blasphemes. And of course, our Lord says, knowing their thoughts. That means he didn't hear them. They were out of earshot. But he says, knowing their thoughts, he addresses them directly. Okay, you want to begrudge this, but what's harder to do? To take away someone's sins, which only God can do, he's acknowledging that, or to heal somebody, which is actually an easier thing to do if you want. Because God still does the power, but he can work it through someone. Well, same with taking away sins. That's what we see in sacrament of penance. So our Lord says, just to show you that what I did already by taking away his sins, that was a reality, he says to the man, arise, take up your pallet, and go to your house, which happened. So our Lord is verifying the supernatural taking away of sins by showing what he can do physically to this man. So he's teaching everybody. And of course, the people, it says, it ends saying, the people walked away saying, we have seen a great thing, the power of God here among men. That is, God is walking among us. Now, in the epistle, St. Paul goes into talking about the power of grace in our lives, and he's thanking God for it. And that's the other thing, too. The collect for today's Mass, talking about grace. That is, the connection here is that this life that Christ has given through the sacraments as penance and helping us, the overflow into our souls. We think of that mostly with the sacrament of extreme unction, where this great strengthening of our soul takes place and it can overflow into our body and actually heal us from what is obviously a mortal danger. That's the only reason we can receive extreme unction. We do not receive extreme unction because I sneezed. That is invalid. That is a sacrilege. So we see it in that example. We see it here in the sacrament of penance as our Lord demonstrated. But what is happening? He is bringing his life into the world, and St. Paul is singing the praises of this great grace in our lives. And he's talking about how it sanctifies us. It gives us these supernatural virtues. It gives us actual graces that help us in all the actions we do in our everyday duties. But it is all, the collect of the Mass talks about it too, because it tells us, God, the operation of your mercy directs, governs, and sanctifies our hearts. Because we know we are not able to do anything ourselves. That's the collect. So we know grace elevates us to the supernatural, which we cannot do on our own. We, as Catholics, this is a good reminder to us, because we are so used to, as just out of the cradle, we are taught, as you know, we're coming in, maybe using the wrong hand at the beginning, to bless ourselves with holy water. And so it's connatural. We are raised on the supernatural order. We don't recognize the infinite distance between the supernatural and natural, because God has so joined it for us. But to take the holy water, to bless ourselves, is supernatural. The fact you're doing it at all is God giving you the grace to do it. It's good to remember this. The fact you're sitting here right now is because you have responded to an actual grace moving you to come. And you have responded to that grace and accepted that grace, and you have come. You don't even think about it. That's how connatural it is to you. The natural thing to do on the day off is to be sleeping right now. That's what all the natural people are doing. Or if they weren't sleeping, they're out doing some whatever they want to do. That's the natural thing. You're supernatural. That's what the Mass is all about. And that's what's happening here. And St. Peter, of course, the impact of this on him, and we think of his later on in the Gospel, we think of this because these things, this power of taking away sins, the sacrament of penance, of course, our Lord left the power in the church, because he was not going to be with us all days walking among us. So he left the power in the church as a sacrament. I'm looking back at the confessionals there, because he gave the power to the priests to take away sin. And of course, St. Peter is very much aware of all these things. And later on in the story, of course, this is the key moment in our Lord's public life. And from this point on, he has planted the faith, and he is from now on, now next step two, which is really step one, Now he's going to redeem us. So he takes them up on a little retreat, the apostles, into the Gentile region, and on the retreat, and then he says to the apostles, you know, he says to them, who do men say that I am? And they give answers. And then he says, who do you say that I am? And St. Peter, answering for them, says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the man in the world to redeem us. Okay? That is what the name Christ means. Our Lord took, his name is Jesus from the moment he came into the world, but his title is Christ, so we call him Jesus Christ. So Saint Peter is saying, I know you are that person. I know your title. And then he says, you are the Son of the living God. He now joins to the fact that he is the Messiah among us, and he says, and you are God. And our Lord says, you have answered correctly. And then we understand, St. Peter didn't have some, he was just not some genius, because then our Lord tells us, you do not know this by flesh and blood. You know this because of the revelation of my Father. So he's telling us that God the Father gave this revelation to St. Peter, and St. Peter received it and proclaimed it. It's all right there. And then our Lord says, our Lord does these things, you see it sometimes, you know, Peter says, thou art the Christ. So then our Lord says, now my turn, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the power, and he goes on to give the power of binding and loosing. That is the sacrament of penance. That the priests have the power to loose, that is, take away our sins, or hold them if someone's not sorry. Can hold withhold absolution when he knows the person's not sorry. The person said, I'm not sorry. So we see that. We also learn, and this is all because St. Peter's been signaled out. He is the one, is the book, the boat is his boat. It's his town. It's his house. It's all clear there. That is his job, to point out that who our Lord is. He is the Son of God who became man and died for our sins. That is what the Pope tells us. Anything else is not the revelation of the Father. Now, the other thing, and we have to do this quickly, unfortunately, is, some weeks ago, a month or two ago, I thought to myself, next time I'm in a sermon, I'd like to say something about this. And so I'm going to do it today. It just happens this is the day I've been able to come up again. I was just, looking on the internet, and I just thought, I'm going to, occasionally I do this, but I don't know how long it had been. I just looked at the sisters' website, which is fantastic, as you probably know. But I was looking at their newsletter, and so I took a little history tour looking at them. And I've looked at them, but this time I guess I had missed many or something, and I took a long time going back, reading all of them. And I live right next door, and there's many things I didn't know were happening, because the sisters will tell you what's happening. So I learned a lot of things. That's probably why I kept going. Now, I knew this part, but I want you to know it. When you see those stories and things, you are seeing happy people. I invite you to do it. read as you get a glimpse of life with God. Now, when I saw this, I thought to myself, I have to say something. Because have I ever? I don't know. So I want to say something about this and to dispel some things even I would have. Because what I mean, dispel? I'm not seeing anybody anymore. I'm locked away. I don't have a family. I don't eat regular food. I don't eat meat. I don't sleep like other people. I don't get enough sleep. I work all day. Go down the list. I'm poor. Nobody even thinks about me. Nobody cares about me. Who would do that? That was scary. That thought was a scary thought to me. Not that I was called to that. The priest is similar, but not quite the same as being locked up. And then you see people that are happy doing that. And I just want to let you know, all of those things that I listed as these horrible things, they can't be that horrible, right? Because why would someone do it? Those are all the scare tactics of the devil and our own fears. And this is all coming to me as I'm thinking, I'm looking at this. I'm going, one thing after another, it's disappearing. These things are all illusions. I always think of a story of the true story. I've heard the story. The little boy, I don't know, 8 years old, saying to his father about his mother. So it's just the two of them. And he's saying, so he's the little boy and he's thinking, he's saying to his father, like reflecting on his own mother and thinking she's like the most beautiful person. You know, that's the little boy, right? So he says to the father, why isn't mom, you know, Miss Universe? You know. And so the father says to him, she is so great, so beautiful, and so good. We don't want to share her with anyone else. Beautiful thought. And I think of that with the brides of Christ. They're being locked up because our Lord doesn't want to share them. And he doesn't want to share himself except with them. When you start seeing things that way, the whole perspective is different. I've heard the sisters say, people look at this grill and they think we're locked in. I don't know if you heard the sisters say this. And they say, no, this grill locks the world out. You see, they live in the perpetual state of peace and joy because they have, as I described for you, you come here and you leave those things at the door. They are always inside the door. Sometimes those things can intrude, but there, God tries as much as he can to, well, he doesn't try, God does, but we try to block those things out. And so I wanted to say this, and then it ended up, you know, I'm talking because I'm talking about the feasts of St. Teresa, the great foundress. I'm thinking of St. Margaret Mary, another sister, St. Hedwig, who was a wife and mother, but then after everyone pretty much died, her children and her husband, she joined the same convent that she had paid to establish. And then we have St. Gerard Majella, who became a Redemptorist, and then we have St. Peter Alcantara. We have all of these people who, St. Peter Alcantara joined the Franciscans when he was 16 years old. So I'm talking to, well, I'm actually talking to all of you, but I'm also talking to anyone who hears the sermons to encourage them. Don't fall for these tricks. The other thing is, and this is, again, this is for parents that might be listening. These calls to the vocation are very special. So it's not for everybody. But if anyone has this persistent, that's the way God is, a persistent call, that's a vocation to call, a persistent call, we can't escape it. As one who has a vocation, we know that is this persistence. Even if you have all kinds of reasons to resist it. And from one of the things I learned from that too, by the way, which St. Alphonsus talks about, this is unusual. Keep your vocation to yourself. It's between you and God and your spiritual director. Because unfortunately, experience it myself. As soon as you mention that you're going to be going to the seminary, it's amazing how everyone wants to give you advice. I remember someone saying, "What if I had a chance to be able to do this, I would do that. I don't know why you're choosing this." Well, it didn't, it didn't affect me. But it was curious. And so our Lord himself says, in talking about these things, your enemies will be those of your own household. So he cautions those following him, be ready, because these ones closest to you are going to do that. And for the people of the household, this is the thing. There's this thing like we're losing someone. We're losing someone who we give to God. What happened to Anna, the mother of Samuel, giving her son to God in his service? What happened to that? Now, this is the one thing I because these people, and I think of St. Teresa of Avila, she, you know her, well, whatever you know of her life, ups and downs and everything. Do you know what she said was the most difficult thing she ever did in her life? Leave her home. To leave her father, who was, she was his favorite. He had about 10 children or something. She was his favorite. And she said, that was my hardest thing. And just as I was saying the Mass, I was thinking of her. And it's an exaggeration, okay? But her family killed her. I was thinking of that. How? Because these people, like St. Teresa of Avila, these people have vocations. Families don't lose them. They become the greatest member of the family. Why? I cannot go into all the description of this. Just believe me, it is based on the incarnation. That Christ so gives himself up to the divine. Now, when I say the word Christ, I mean the Son of God made man. Right? We talk about our Lord as the Logos, the second person, the Son. I'm talking about God before he became man. As soon as I use terms like Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ, the Messiah, I am talking about him when he became man. Okay? Just so you know, little catechism. So when I say Christ so gave himself up to the divine that nothing separated his human nature from his divine person, not even a human person. So our Lord as man is universal man, because his humanity does not belong to any human person. It belongs only to the Son of God. This is deep theology. That enables our Lord to be more united with us than we even realize. That is what vocations are like. They are so united to God, that their tie to their family is elevated. Their sensitivity to their family is elevated. Their sensitivity to all families are heightened. because nothing stands in the way. This is the thing outsiders don't understand. We're losing. No, we're not. And we see it constantly in these lives of the saints. And that's why I say her family killed her. Why? You know, of course, she was the instrument of her nephew who died, of his raising, being raised from the dead. You know that. Looking out for her little nephew. God, please, the building's bricks fell over him and killed him. And she said, God, and so he, throughout his life, used to say to his aunt, you better make sure I get to heaven because you brought me back. He was a little boy. He would have gone right to heaven. But she, and so, you know, and there's all kinds of stories about how she interacted and what happened in the end. Her niece broke her heart. And her niece, who was one of her spiritual daughters, her niece had become a Carmelite. And it was the prioress of a convent. And when the Saint Teresa was being moving around, she went to this convent to stay as she was moving. And the niece, as the prioress, refused to let her in. Why? Because the aunt had a different opinion about some family inheritance. By the way, that is a warning too, a separate thing. You must make sure that there will never be a fight about what is left after you're gone. If there is, that redounds to you, not to your children. I have to tell you that. Oh, these people are fighting. No, that's because their parents did not train them. Even if there's one bad apple in the family, okay, everyone knows this is the bad one. You know what? Everyone else should walk away. It's better that he get the millions than I fight over trash. But that's, so the saint turned away. It broke her heart. She died soon after. I think also St. Thomas Aquinas, you talk about opposing a vocation. His mother had him locked up in the family castle for a couple of years. But this mind who you see in the Summa, you know, and you see his soul coming out in the composition of the Mass for Corpus Christi, for example, that sensitivity came out towards his family, despite what had happened. His mother sent his older brothers who were in the soldiers of the emperor. She sent those brothers out to kidnap him and put him in the tower. Okay. But this saint, years later, when he was doing his different things, there came up an issue where someone, some leader, some king or royal person, asked him, can you write one of your dissertations on, you know, about taxation? Well, the saint knew that what he was asking was something that was going to affect his family adversely. And he said, well, I can't write that. I can't get into that. You know, conflict of interest. So I talk about these things. So this was one of the big things that families have, like, we're losing something. No, you're gaining this very sensitive soul helping. We talk about these other saints, St. Margaret Mary, for example. So I just want to give a little thing for vocations. If there's a persistence coming to you, don't block it. People that go and try a vocation, they are ahead of everybody else, even if when they leave, because at least they tried. They found out that, that was just God calling me to holiness. He wasn't calling me to a vocation as a priest or a sister, but just a call to him. I found that out. Some people, this is the terrible thing, when you hear people, old people, saying, I used to think about it, but I never did it. Isn't that terrible? Never tried it, never. And so that's the one thing. And for, of course, boys, it's like, it's easier to see because they really, because what does the priest see at the altar? You see it because they want to be at the altar. They want to serve. You can see it. For girls, and I asked the sisters to show me what things they have. And it's just a persistent desire to be close to our Lord, to give oneself to Him. All of the things of the church and the Mass are things that invigorate. These are all signs. And these fears that we mentioned at the beginning, because the freedoms that come, and this is good for parents to recognize, because what are these? Poverty, chastity, and obedience. We're afraid of these things, but so poverty. We do have to train our children to be able to make it in the world. But why? Parents got to remember, God has entrusted these ones to us. Why? To make it in the world? No. To make it to heaven. And you, as parents, have to think, yes, they have to know they're, you know, add things up and work and everything. But think to it, more importantly, their best road to heaven is a vocation. That's their safest road. That's what I have to ultimately be trying to help them do. Chastity. That's the whole thing about the family. Oh, there's no one to, they'll be alone. You know, they'll be alone in life. No, they're not. You look at the sister's thing I told you. They've got this big family. You'd like to be part of a big family like that. Check it out. And then obedience. Have to listen to somebody else who speaks for God. No. And we do this. You have to learn how to be the boss. You have to learn how to be the manager. You have to learn how to be the leader. You have to be the president of the company. You have to start your own company. You have to be rich and powerful. You have to be in charge of people. Parents, don't do that. Teach them they should want to serve God and help others, not rule others. So if the parents have a different perspective, and again, we speak to people here, of course you're right here, but we're speaking to the people that can hear this. Because these are questions that are always coming up and always on people's minds. We parents don't recognize it, how much we have been tainted by the world we unfortunately have to live in. Protect your children from that. Don't hide them from it. You know, they have to live in it, so that's the part you have to do. But give them the greater course. Encourage them in that. Don't discourage them, as St. Thomas's mother. Okay. So we didn't tell you these stories of the saints as we wanted to, but we want to take the time and use the example of these saints at the end of this week. All of these religious priests and sisters. And St. Teresa used to say, I don't want any of these sad sack faces in my convent. She wanted happy people, and that's what's happened. I want happy people. And she had happy people. And she has them today. You can be the means of giving more people to God, and people who are listening, you can be one of those people. We'll pray for that at this Mass. May God bless you.